Great to keep your Bibles open, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that on an evening like this, we can gather together freely in your name. We ask now that you would open our hearts and our minds, that as we read this, the word of the Lord, we may more clearly know and see the Lord of the Word. Amen. Well, meet Sally. Sally's out enjoying a drink with friends. And as time goes by and the conversation moves on from the mundane things of how hot it's been recently, the things of work, onto more interesting things, current affairs, political persuasions, and as one friend boldly puts it, the views of those crazy Christians who keep popping up. Well, Sally, herself a Christian, feeling a little more bold than normal, does her best to explain. She tries to speak up. She wants her friends to understand what she believes, but they just don't get it. Despite her best efforts, it's almost as though they're blind. Will they ever see what I see? She thinks to herself. Well, perhaps you can relate to Sally's experience. Perhaps you have friends or relatives who just don't get it. Maybe it's family members who wonder, why do you keep turning up there Sunday after Sunday with those outdated views? Or perhaps you never even bother trying to explain because you don't know where to start. Or maybe you relate more closely to Sally's friends. You're here tonight because you've heard something of the Bible. Or maybe you're just walking past and thought it would be a nice cool place to spend the evening. Perhaps it just doesn't really make any sense. You're not sure what everyone else sees in all of this. Well, if you're in either of those two camps, I hope our time in John 9 this week and next helps. I hope as we look at this great claim of Jesus to be the light of the world, that we really see how powerful it is and how it helps us to see. Bright light is amazing, isn't it? When you're struggling in the dark, the only way you're going to see is if someone turns on a light. Illuminating the world around us, helping us to see. And in this chapter, we're told that Jesus physically helps a man to see and explains that he can help us to see as well. However, you might have also had that horrible experience camping where someone shines a torch in your face and you really wish they hadn't. Suddenly you can't see anything at all and you just want to cover your eyes. Well, that's also covered in this chapter. And Trevor Clarkson, our preacher next week, will focus more on those themes. I'm not dodging the bullet, as Adam Curtis covered in chapter 8. I'm purely leaving Trevor to cover those things next time around. Well, let's look on into chapter 9. Hopefully you've still got it open. Jesus is with his disciples. And they see this blind man. And his disciples ask in verse 2, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They're confronted with this man and his disability, and they ask, why is it that he can't see? They seem most concerned where to put the blame. Is it the man's fault? Or is it his family's? Is he being punished? Are his parents being punished? And it's certainly the case, isn't it? As we look through the Bible, especially in these early chapters of Genesis, that all suffering, all pain and brokenness in the world came in through sin. It's also abundantly plain through various passages of the Bible that sometimes specific people suffer for their specific sin. So is that what's going on? But Jesus says no. In this instance, that isn't the case. Look in verses 3 to 5. It was not this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus says this man's blindness is an opportunity for God to be seen, for his glory to be displayed. When we're faced with affliction and difficulty, sickness and suffering, it's a great idea to examine our hearts and our minds and wonder, is there sin that I am unrepentant of? But that may not be the cause. Perhaps God is trying to teach you something. Perhaps this hardship is an opportunity for his work in your life to be displayed. And perhaps that is where a friend suffering and struggling needs to be pointed to. Perhaps God is trying to teach them something. Jesus says this man's blindness is going to be used to point people to God, to the wonderful love and power of God. Jesus is going to use this man's blindness to teach us something about himself and something about us. He's going to show us that he is the light of the world who gives sight to those who can't see. He says in verses 4 and 5 that he must be about the work of the one who sent him. That is God the Father. What an incredibly challenging thing it is to read the life of Jesus. Here he is, faced with a social outcast, a beggar at the side of the road. And he stops. Those along with him want to apportion blame. Whose fault is it, Jesus? But he says, this is a chance to point people to God. He looks to reflect the goodness of the one who sent him. How humbling to know that those around us who struggle, who are suffering, who are maybe the outcasts, the downtrodden of society, are opportunities for us to demonstrate, to reflect God's goodness. And how wonderful it is that Jesus demonstrates that to us and enables and strengthens us to do it. Well, having established how Jesus will use this man's blindness, he again repeats that bold claim of chapter 8, verse 5. I am the light of the world. Here's a man who has, in effect, lived in darkness all his life. He was born blind. And Jesus speaks up and says, I'm the light of the world. And the question Adam asked a few weeks ago, are the words of Jesus worth listening to? Well, not only does he say it, but he proves it. Jesus' words are not the empty promises of political manifesto that promise the earth and deliver very little. When he speaks, he means it. His words are the words of the ruler of all. On into verse 6. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And so he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus says he is the light of the world, the one who can help see in the dark. And then he backs up his claims by helping a blind man to see again. Genesis tells us that the great creator God made man out of the very dust on the ground. And here Jesus, God's own son, remakes this man's eyes from the dust on the ground. Jesus is the light of the world who truly can help the blind to see. And this isn't just some foolish gullibility of a bygone era, as people may say. Oh, those guys back then, they'd have believed anything. Of course they saw a miracle. Look at what they say. "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some said, "Yeah, it is he." Others said, "No, it just looks like him." And he kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how are your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made me mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." You see, those people around at the time, they were more happy to believe that this man had some mystery doppelganger that they'd never met before than to accept that a blind man had been made to see. But the evidence was plain. That is indeed what Jesus had done. He is the light of the world. Without light, just like a blind person, we can't see. We stumble and fall. We're lost and directionless. If you find yourself in a large open space with no light, you'll quickly realize just how disorientating it is. There is no point of reference. And each time you turn around, you simply get more and more confused. And in a situation like this, when someone turns on a light, it's a welcome relief. Those hidden things, they become visible again. Where you once stumbled, you now walk effortlessly. Where you previously felt as good as blind, now you see. And Jesus says that spiritually speaking, that's where we all are in the world. We're in the dark, unable to see the truth that is around us, lost, without a hope of figuring it out. With regards to the things of God, we are all born blind. But he also says that he is the light of the world. No, not just a light in the world, but the light, singular. And that is why without him, everything and everyone is in darkness. Because he is the light. And no matter how hard they try, they can't see. It doesn't matter how good your eyes are. It doesn't matter how many carrots you've eaten. If there's no light, you're not going to see anything. And there is no other source of light but the light of the world, Jesus. There's no figuring it out for yourself what God is like. There's no point going to Buddha. There's no point going to Muhammad for a path through the darkness. There's no point trying to find yourself or look inwards. Or try a little bit harder. It's not that you're stupid. It's not that you're not trying hard enough. It's just that Jesus says, in all those places, there is only more darkness. Because he is the light of the world. When you're lost in a dark room and someone turns on the only light, there's no point wishing there was another light in the room. There's no point rushing off and hoping that you find the light switch. Instead, just rejoice that now you can see there is light. Jesus, the light of the world, can show us who God is because he is God made visible. And John tells us again and again in his gospel that knowing God gives life, eternal, everlasting, full and overflowing life. When, like Sally, you talk to your friends and they don't seem to get it, just keep bringing them back to Jesus. He is the light they need. Keep bringing them to him. Did you notice the man born blind? He gets asked again and again and again. Who did this? How did this happen? Who did this? How did this happen? He doesn't go into details about the makeup of saliva or what dust is like. He just says, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do I have to tell you again? It was Jesus." Your clever apologetics and fancy arguments will by themselves never convince anyone to follow the maker of the world. Only the light of Jesus can do that. Keep bringing them back to him. You can't do it. You won't do it. But he can, and he will, and he does, because he is the light of the world. Look down toward the end of the chapter and see just how this light works and just what it enables us to see. Jesus is caught up again with the man after this kind of trial situation that unfolds in the middle and which Trevor will cover again next week. And in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is him who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who do see may become blind." Jesus declares before healing the man that he is the light of the world. He then gives light to his physical eyes for the first time in his life. And now he asks him, "Do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The Son of Man is Jesus' favorite title for himself. He uses it over 80 times in the Gospels. And it refers back in large part to an Old Testament vision. The prophet Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 7, sees this Son of Man, a character established by God to be the king who rules and reigns forever from the throne room of heaven. He is the king. He is the ruler. He is God's king. And Jesus keeps saying through the Gospels, "It's me, it's me. It's me." And here, Jesus asks this man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man says, who is he? Who is he?" And amazingly, Jesus says to this guy who was blind earlier in the day, "You've seen him. It's me." Jesus says, "I am the Son of Man." And then and there, the man kneels down. He believes, he worships Jesus in an act of submission and praise. It's worth noting at this point that this notion goes around, doesn't it? Jesus never claimed to be God. It's just ridiculous, to be honest. Here Jesus explicitly claims to be God. And then as a first century Jew, he accepts the worship of a man as God. And then to cap it all off, he explains that he is going to do God's job of judging the whole world. Jesus very much claims and claimed to be God. But again, don't lose heart if when you tell people that you're a Christian that they don't see this. Just look at what Jesus says he's come to do in verse 37. He says he's come to make blind eyes see. Keep going. Keep showing people Jesus. You might think he can't open their eyes, but he can. You might think, this guy is just never going to get it. They won't ever understand. Well, look at verse 32. "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind." And yet here is a man born blind, his eyes opened by the man Jesus. Jesus can do the impossible. Even the most unlikely of people can be made to see. Keep praying for them. Keep showing them Jesus. He is the light of the world. He reveals who God is because he is God made visible. And if again you're still wondering what to make of God, you're still unsure, again, just keep coming to Jesus. Keep coming. Examine his words. Take note of his life, his actions, his deeds, his teaching, his death, burial, and resurrection. Keep asking, who is he that I may believe in him? Keep asking who he is. Keep coming to the light that can help you see. He is the light of the world. He is the only one who can help us see. Let's pray.